It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now two guys can't figure out that it's the Friday before a holiday. We're not supposed to be here. Am I getting paid overtime? Oh, it's Patch and Switch.
That's honestly, like, what I felt happened.
What's...
Like...
You?
The band seems a little cranky today. You seem a little off for some reason.
I was just on a conference call. We haven't talked because I've been on a con call.
That's what it is.
I mean, normally we sit and hang out for a couple minutes before the show. I've been on a conference call.
Yeah, it happens.
Good morning, everybody.
Look at that. It's a Friday.
Getting paid?
We are getting
What's
paid.
What's that?
Somebody mentioned getting paid? What?
Well, the announcer boy thinks he gets paid. I think he's been drinking again.
What?
So, what is there something going on? Are you working?
I'm trying to figure out how this Facebook started. You know how we found out by accident that we were
It just showed up on my Facebook page. Yeah.
It just all of a sudden showed up?
Yeah.
I'm at the Facebook page.
It says Channel 9 is live.
Yeah, we're live.
Oh, wait, we're live?
We're live on Facebook and on normal.
But where?
Live on Facebook and on patchandswitch.com.
How does this Facebook thing work? Like, I'm at the page.
It's part of the stream. You just
no,
refresh.
But I don't see it on
Facebook. Refresh your page.
On F5?
Yeah.
On the Facebook page?
Yeah, on the channel.
Not on our...
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, see?
I love that.
Yeah.
So does this mean that that you now get to give JFlo some beer money?
I have to give JFlo some beer money, but we'll talk about the beer money segment when it comes up, because that's still a little ways down the path.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
What it is. But I'm very happy I was able to assist. Yeah, man. It's
Super
it's,
tech
it's,
boy.
It's, someone was wishing me Happy Canada Day today. I'm like, excuse me.
Well, but he's in the land down under.
Who is?
Dan Pye.
Danny Pye?
Yeah, I think he's in Australia.
No, he was just camping.
Oh, was he?
He was camping on the Olympic Peninsula.
Well,
there's
did
no way
know
he could be down in Australia that fast.
Well, he could have dug a hole. I don't know.
It's a big hole. No, seriously.
Did he just get confused?
I think he did. I think
okay.
You know,
it's possible.
Or else he thinks he's in England. Is it? No, it's not. It's not the next day in England, is it?
It's
9 hours
no.
difference.
Eight
hours difference.
Super Tech Boy says the purple robot on the wall gets paid.
Yeah, I know, eh? It's like, we need to...
We don't.
We need to replace that.
No.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Or at least it's a cutout, though. So
yeah.
We should at least make a cutout.
We need to get Patch and Switch fat heads for the wall.
So if we're going
to
get Patch and Switch fat heads, do we go with a caricature of our heads?
Yes.
Or do
yes.
we go with a logo instead?
No, we go with the caricature of our heads.
Okay, so maybe we should invest in that. Because I think it'd be good to have some Patch and Switch stuff in here.
As opposed
to that strange purple thing that's now I don't like it. It stares at me. Like, it's looking at me.
Makes you feel
it's not
a little
looking at you, it's looking at me.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Strange.
Wanna send a special shout out to our main man JFlo, working the buttons.
He also
sure
came
that we're broadcasting.
In when it was a long weekend.
Well, no, he doesn't have a long weekend. He's a new guy.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have vacation yet.
Now if he has to work another 2 years.
Yeah. So
he doesn't know that.
Yeah, I know, right? So he doesn't get to take the extra time over the weekend.
Yeah.
Want to say hello to Pierre Roman, MKE077, Mr. Blacksway, Super Tech Boy, as previously mentioned on the program. Kowski is here as his neighbor, Geek, Foul Temper, AZ Growler Guy, Rygeist, 365, back in the house again. Good to see you. Did I see IT Prayer here? Yes, I did. I did see IT Prayer. So Prayer's here. He was wondering if we were going to be cooking on today's program.
Where's that from?
Maybe because it's a morning talk show. I don't know. Cause you know, you watch
the cooking segment.
Yeah. You've got the cooking segment, so, but unfortunately due to liability,
they
we're not
would
able
not
to do
let
that.
Me bring in my propane burner to be able to make beer. I don't know. It's an enclosed space in here. It's not all that large.
And it's like 90,000 BTU.
Yeah.
It's chef.
Yeah. So. They suggest I could do an induction burner because if I touch my hand on top of that,
nothing
burn.
Can happen.
Except
yes.
for my ring, I found out.
Really?
The ring actually heats up.
Oh, does it?
There's enough metal in the ring to make it heat up.
Oh, that's crazy.
So don't put your hand on top of an induction burner if you're wearing jewelry, basically is the recommendation that only I can make, I think.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. This is episode 101,
but
Super Tech.
If you look at the website, it doesn't make sense. The website only has 98.
What?
Listed.
Oh.
And so this would mean last week's was 99 and this one's 100.
I just went by what.
So who told us it was 100 last week?
Well, Jay Shock.
Did Jay Shock tell us? Yeah. Or did Mr. J Flow over here tell us?
No, Jay Shock told us.
There might have been an accounting error with a hanging Chad or something that would have made it so that it's not officially 100. So
and now the winner of the 100th episode is.
What was the name of the movie that did that?
Who didn't win? That would be.
It was the laughing one, wasn't it?
No, it was the musical, the LA musical one. La La Land.
La La Land. So
fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's a great movie. A throwback to the old of Hollywood. It was a really great movie. Yeah.
I'm looking at the show name list, and we have 101 show names.
All right, so there you go.
But he's going by the list. But what's published on Channel 9?
Oh, wow.
There may be episodes.
There's a counting discrepancy.
Well, like, I think what it is that there are episodes.
It's kind of like losing the popular
lost.
Vote and becoming president or something. Like, you have to have these numbers correct.
I think the problem is that we have episodes that may not have necessarily somebody clicked record on, and then we missed getting it off the live stream, or it could be back in the day when we were when we actually had to do it together. Maybe I forgot a week.
As the executive producers,
yeah.
Is that what we are?
I think so. I don't know what else.
There's no directors in this one.
There's no direction.
That too. So do we have to go back and establish the proper standard for what it is? Because this could very well be the 100th show.
You know what? I just say last week's show is the 100th show, and this week's show, because it's a bonus episode, it's the 12-inch extended version of the 100th show.
Okay. I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that. I got it.
IT Prayer says you should do live cooking on the show. His family has a fantastic samosa recipe. No.
That involves frying oil, which scares me even more.
Yeah, right.
Oil, doesn't it?
Oh, I remember we did the Super Bowl party and we were frying stuff and you were freaked out. You wouldn't go near it.
No, I've burned myself on frying oil, as a matter of fact.
And fireworks. By the way, are you still banned from using fireworks?
You had to bring that up.
I did. Is that a lifetime ban?
You know how you get like a little like a shudder kind of.
Yeah.
Whenever I drive past the fireworks stands that are all in all the different parking lots and church parking lots and grocery stores and stuff, I get a little shudder whenever
get a little bit of PTSD.
And the funny is if I'm driving and my wife's in the passenger seat without saying anything and we're just driving along, no one says anything, she just reaches over and punches me whenever we go past a fireworks stand.
Really?
And I'm like, why? What did I do?
I didn't do anything.
I'm not even thinking about it. So she's preemptively training me. I think it's the, you know how you give like the dog a treat when they do something good?
Yeah.
I think she's like using negative reinforcement with me whenever she's trying to associate pain whenever I go past a fireworks stand.
Mr. Blacksway says 100 show V2. Pierre Roman says 100.1. I think we just call it the 100 show Mark II.
Yeah.
Does that work?
That works.
100 show MK2. All right, that's what we're gonna do.
Pierre says he wants one service pack too. Could work too.
We don't do service packs. Have you seen the show?
To answer your question about fireworks, I have
You're
not
still
purchased
banned.
Any fireworks. There's still my picture up at Kaboom Fireworks up on the reservation. Do not serve this guy. and things along those lines. So that's funny. Yeah, and my. Everything's still good on the hand. I still don't have feeling on half my hand, but
Pierre says he wants to see you deep frying a turkey, and then MKU77 Peter says deep frying a turkey would end up being fireworks.
Apparently, that is true if you do not get all the moisture out of the inside of the cavity.
Thaw it first.
Yeah, gotta thaw.
Yeah,
first.
You've got to let it thaw. You've got to let it thaw. Mr. Blacksway 100R2.
That could do.
Oh. Episode 100, Millennium Edition.
So nice of people to say that.
No, I said that. Anyway. Prayer wants to know, why are you banned from doing these things again? Why is Microsoft so concerned? It's not Microsoft. So just to be... Just to be here, you have to carry a certain level of insurance.
Yeah, there's extra liability that you have to purchase. Do I tell the fireworks story or not?
Feel free.
So it's at the fest. So first of all, you don't really do fireworks in Canada because they're not allowed to be sold. So coming down to the States
because
5 years
ago. Because you live there?
No. Look, it was definitely eye-opening coming down to the States 5 years ago and then seeing fireworks stands everywhere that you could go off and buy fireworks. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't realize that it's actually fireworks that are illegal to have as well.
Correct.
And that I now understand that where I live is unincorporated county, which means I'm allowed to do fireworks and no one cares.
Yes.
But if you're inside city limits, they're very particular about no fireworks and that sort of stuff. But anyway, all these firearms, fireworks discussions, it just strange me down here in America.
America.
So anyway, there was an incident where I'm going to simplify this and basically just say I tried to light about a dozen bottle rockets by hanging on to the lighter sticks and then dunking them inside of the flames of a fire to be able to have them just shoot off.
Of a bonfire.
What I didn't realize, because I'm not used to playing with fireworks, is that the bottle rockets don't actually shoot off of those little sticks.
No.
They're designed so that the little stick just holds them up inside the bottle.
Correct.
And then when it takes off, it takes off. Yeah. See, not being from the land of explosives, I didn't know this. So, needless to say, they started to go off, and I'm trying to let go of them in my hand, and basically they just ignited with a beautiful over the knuckles burn in my hands. That caused second and third degree burns on my hand. That required emergency room visit and required burn unit visit.
Yeah.
And required skin to be peeled off. I got great photos of it if you want to see my hand with no skin.
No.
And then the skin all grew back and you can't even basically tell. I got through unscathed and I have full motion and usage of this. And the best part was the burn unit ER nurse basically said, you are one lucky son of a bitch. Because usually what people do is they light them, and then what do? They hold them up. And if you hold them up, it then comes down
right
on top of your face.
Right.
So in my stupidity, I was smart.
In your stupidity, you were smart.
I
avoided
it.
I saw this coming. I left that party. I saw it coming. I left that party. Well,
I still
before.
Have neighbors that won't talk to me.
It doesn't surprise me. And here's the thing. This did not happen on the 4th of July.
No, this was in October, actually.
This happened on Halloween.
Yeah. I was at a bonfire, and a buddy of mine was breaking the sticks off of all the bottle rockets.
Oh.
And he was lighting them off individually in the cap of the bottle without the stick. But he has a handful of bottle rockets and a handful of sticks. And throws the bottle rockets into the fire.
Yeah.
And we're like, did you throw the bottle rockets or the sticks?
Everybody scatters.
And there's a handful of sticks.
Yeah.
Everybody scatters, and it's bottle rockets going every direction.
That's kind of what happened. When I finally got them out of my hand, that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a...
That was a longer story than expected. And that was nothing to do with it. It wasn't related to IT. I wasn't trying to do something with IT.
Well, because you're coming up on Canada Day and U.S. Independence Day. What is Canada Day? I know you posted a fun little video, didn't you?
The video on Facebook was nice. It was done by a comedian, that vlogger type guy that does videos. And he did one for KFC talking about the American neighbor talking to the Canadian neighbor. And the American neighbor looks over and says, what are you doing? It's like... Why all the Canada red and white? It's like, well, it's Canada Day. And so Canada Day, 150 years ago, 150th anniversary right now of when the founding fathers of Canada got together and created the Confederation of Canada back in, I have to know the 150, what's the math? 1867. Thank you. I did the math in my head or remembered it, some obtuse fact. In Charlottetown, PEI got together and created Canada. And the old joke of how they named Canada was they were sitting around and they just said, hey, why don't we just come up with a name for this new place? And let's just start off around the corner here and we'll say, would you say your favorite letter? And the first guy says, C, eh? And the guy says, N, eh? And another guy says, D,
A.
Eh?
Yeah.
So there you go, Canada. Ba-doom-tsh. Dad jokes. They're the best. They are the best. So how did this July the 4th thing happen?
We decided that we weren't down with this whole Commonwealth thing. That we weren't down with this whole British rule thing.
Yeah, the colonies.
Yeah, we kind of came over and went, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, but the actual date is the end when they sign something. It's not the day that it started.
No, it's
with a shot
it's
heard
the
around the world. No, I learned that on Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, I love Schoolhouse Rock.
I love Schoolhouse Rock. the independent bill.
Our current administration would do well. That's the most famous one. That. Anyway.
So what
the Declaration of Independence, the celebration of the Declaration.
So that was after the American Revolution was supposedly finished. And they decided to choose that date. Yeah.
I
come on, man. Didn't you have to pass this to get your American citizenship?
I was born here.
So he was getting it by default.
We just get it automatically.
Okay. So the rest of us have to take a test.
Sorry. You have to take a test?
We have to take a test. I'll be able to take my test in 2 years.
What's on the test?
I don't know yet. I have to study. But eventually I'll get there. I'll get there eventually.
It's essentially... It commemorates the adoption or the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That basically states, "Hey, we're out."
Is that the day they signed the Constitution, or did it happen after?
No, it commemorates. It's not an actual. So the date the Declaration of Independence was actually signed was over a period of time. It was just, not a single day.
You just picked a date. Like there's no.
Well, they have to celebrate. They need a date to celebrate it. Okay. So that's what they decided.
Because like Canada, we picked the date when they signed the paper.
Yeah,
that's the date that we picked.
Well, I mean, the adoption. So not the signature, but the adoption was done on July 4th, 1776. So
nice.
So it's kind of like because the procedural adoption, right? So they had the book of Robert's Rules of Order in 1776.
Right.
Apparently, because, you know, they had to do all this procedural stuff, right? So they're like, do we have anybody who seconds this? And then somebody, oh, yeah, I second it. And then they sign the papers. And then, you know, they're like, okay, the papers are signed. Are we really going to officially adopt this? Let's get together. I motion to adopt, you know, it's the Robert's Rule of Order. At least that's how I envision it.
Nice. Well, that works.
Wikipedia says that it is the date of basically commemorating it.
So commemoration.
They pick a date. Yeah. And I see here the Super Tech Boy has been quite good in our chat room at patchandswitch.com.
Yeah.
That basically says, for my citizenship test, I have to answer 7 out of 100 questions correctly. To be able to, as one of the bars, to be able to say that I could become an American citizen and have dual citizenship.
Okay. Awesome. Boy, did we get sidetracked. We're 20 minutes into the program. I haven't even started. So let's start the program and let's talk about, we've said hello to everybody.
Yes. That's the segment.
Is there anybody I'm missing? No, I don't think. Oh, Colleen, but she's got something that she should be doing. So,
And we have 5 segments. The first segment being
from the trenches, stuff that we're doing in the day job.
What do you do in your day job? You had a conference call this morning?
I did.
What were you talking about?
I was talking about a particular event that's occurring in Orlando, Florida in September.
And you're talking about planning perspective with your team?
Yeah. So I own the identity pre-day. So there is, I should probably look up the official title, but it's Identity and Office 365 talking about basically the session. I don't want to give too much away because we haven't completely...
You haven't built it yet.
Well, we do. We actually have a very, very good framework. It's super cool. It's one of those things that I'm looking at going, I really should attend this. But I know on the Sunday before the event, they typically have us doing a bunch of stuff. But essentially what it is you will learn if you attend this pre-day. And I could get you the official codes and everything else once I don't have the right computer to do that. Maybe I'll go have a gander at the website. I'll do that while you talk. But the essential thing is first, we're going to show you kind of how identity works. And from that perspective, it means tokens, how they're created, how you can go in and you can use an app called Fiddler to go in and grab a Fiddler trace and look and see the token and how it's constructed and then see why an authentication request would fail and kind of help troubleshoot all of that stuff. Then we'll show how identity works across, and in particular Azure Active Directory identity works across Office 365 and then how it works in SaaS applications and how you can troubleshoot that stuff. Then we'll go into a discussion about a day in the life of a user account. So essentially kind of provisioning, deprovisioning, et cetera, and some of the best practices. So what we're really doing is we're taking a lot of the information that we get from our customers, because I work in a very customer-centric organization, part of engineering called Customer Experience. And we've got a bunch of people on our team who we kind of airlift in and help big customers get deployed, and we're taking a lot of their knowledge and experience. And we're
I think the term is essentially parachute in.
We don't throw them out of airplanes anymore. Again, liability.
Liability clause.
Yeah,
for clause.
What we really wanted to do is first. The first 2 hours, just in and of itself, in terms of going in and looking how identity is constructed and how it flows, that's one of those really super deep, mind-blowing things, and I think that's going to be awesome to share with our customers. And then we just kind of go from there just down through the entire stack and how everything works. We'll talk about app proxy and how that works and how that changes things. And so it's really kind of a soup to nuts of identity. It's really what a pre-day should be. Is that, you know, yeah, there's a series of sessions that kind of exist inside of that pre-day, but it's really designed as that. Like, go in, you take that first 2 hours, and then all of that knowledge keeps getting referred back to as we keep proceeding down, and then finally culminating in what is that kind of day in the life of an account, how it kind of moves and changes, and as things get added, as things get removed, as it, you know, provision, deprovision, and that whole process. And so super cool. Our good friend Mark Morrow is going to be presenting at that along with a bunch of other folks.
Right on.
That call was kind of talking about kind of staffing and how we're going to get all of these speakers, because, you know, not every one of my pre-day speakers is speaking at the event. They're just there for the pre-day. But, you know, how do we get them in? How do we make sure that they've got access to the right?
The joys. The joy. Like, you guys don't see this from a conference perspective.
Right.
But there's only so many speaker passes allocated. There's only so many staff passes allocated. You're expected to serve so many hours. But everyone normally exceeds them, at least on my team they do.
Right.
For wanting to go off and talk to people. But it's a huge set of logistics. It's absolutely nuts.
So real quick, Alex Ming is on Facebook, and he says, the moment you're at baggage claim, he's at baggage claim, waiting for his bag. He's tuned in, watching Patch and Scratch. Oh, nice. That's awesome. I think that's awesome.
A travel weekend.
Yeah, so there was that. That was the call that I had earlier. But I do have several things that are coming. The documents have been written. They need to be converted into Markdown and approvals and everything else be done, because I have commissioned.
Commissioned.
I've commissioned some work.
Did you take the champagne bottle and?
Not yet, but I will once it goes live. I will once.
That's when it's launching.
Do you do it then, or do you do it when you submit the pull request? Isn't that how you submit a pull
when
request?
The pull request gets merged. That's what you do. It can take a while for it to get merged.
Yeah. Okay.
For stuff.
As long as you don't break your screen on your computer, I think they're fine.
Yeah. I'll make sure I use the side. Good. Yeah, where the bezel is.
And it's right here.
Yeah. small bottle of champagne.
Teeny tiny.
Yeah, the ones that you get in the hotel, right?
Yeah.
Or airplane. The ones
that you get airplane the champagne.
Yeah.
That's the quality stuff.
So a couple of things forthcoming. So are you aware of NPS, Network Policy Server, and what it does?
I remember NPS.
Yeah.
I've never used NPS personally.
Because I was the one who did the demo when we talked about it. Do you remember
back
that?
Back in the day.
I remember NPS. We used to do like full, like half day of,
we
of sessions.
We should submit a session.
We should eventually speak again, right?
Well, we're speaking at specific things, but we don't have a technical context we're speaking about.
Well, that's not true. I mean, we got pretty technical with Snover when he wasn't fighting with everybody else in the room.
Yeah.
Corey.
Mostly Corey.
And Alex.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jeffrey, dude, I've only been in this role 2 months. It's my boss. Dude, stop it. So anyway, with NPS, we actually have an extension to allow you to use Azure Active Directory, particularly things like multi-factor authentication that lives inside of Azure Active Directory. And you may want to silence your phone there.
Jared talking to us from
there. Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Nice. So the NPS extension, basically, how do we use multi-factor authentication in a VPN scenario or RD Gateway. And so those documents are forthcoming, as is a really cool thing that I was made aware of. It wasn't cool that this wasn't documented, but MFA server on-premises.
Yeah.
So the MFA on-premises server, we're actually going to publish a high availability scale-out guide. So how do you have multiples? What is our recommendation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's coming. That's forthcoming. And JFlo's sitting over there, and he just did the gun to his head thing. You don't have to write it. Okay. You don't need to write it. Okay. We've already got most of it already crafted. You'll have to publish it.
Okay. Nice.
Yes.
I can do that.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, so I actually do work on occasion. Had the big all hands yesterday. You missed that.
I missed the all hands because I was doing stuff with my son.
You know what they were talking? You know, they talked about docs.
They did. From a document integration with Cloud Shell?
No, it's basically do your docs.
They did talk about the integration with Cloud
Shell. Actually, they did. I saw that. It was a good demo.
It's a really cool demo. Buddy, and they showed the PowerShell stuff, which is in preview,
buddy,
which is cool.
My buddy, I think Justin Look, did that one there. He's just down the hall from me. I helped him out with that to help craft it. But they called out docs as a big thing that you have to participate and do more docs. And you know, we've been doing that for the last year. I've been doing that for the last year and a half. As part of my job.
Yep.
But interestingly enough, before that happened, apparently it was called out during the retreat. Amongst
the execs?
We're talking like Scott level talking to to his people and around because of this whole project that I was on, meeting with Scott twice a week for what they call MVC, minimal viable content.
Yes.
Anyway, that's filtered down, and he's basically like, hey, this has to go everywhere, so it made it in the all hands, which was great. But surprisingly enough, I've been asked by Corey to now host 2 hours of meetings every week for my PM peers to do reviews of everything to make sure that things are done.
Serves you right for making fun of me doing
that. I know. So all of a sudden my meeting schedule got very busy. I'd have to chair these kind of things. And we literally go through line by line. But a funny thing happened, kind of poking your face at the same time, stick in the eye at the same time. But what's the guy's name? Licensing specialist. Come on.
Wes?
Wes. Get Wired?
Wes Twitter. Miller?
Wes Miller found in our docs.
Don't say it. You cannot say the word because I will smack you.
On premise.
Oh.
In our docs, the official docs. And yes, we can hang our head in shame. So I'm like.
It is either on-prem or on premises.
Correct. Unless you're saying on the premise of being correct.
Correct.
Then you could say on premises.
Or the premise of the document is on premises.
There are vendors that have on premise.
Oh, I know.
Plastered. On their website.
Oh, well, it makes me crazy.
Well,
oh, it makes me insane.
Nuts. Just take a guess at how many times on...
Over 300.
On premise is over referenced.
Over 400.
Inside of our documentation set.
Over 500.
I did a grep on our repo.
You did a what?
It's a Linux term.
Okay.
Grep is searching inside of files.
Gotcha.
And looking down directory structures.
Okay.
For contents to be able to do switches and replaces.
99
documents
times.
Online have on-premise instead of on-premises or on-prem.
In just Azure, or did you look in Windows Server?
I just looked in Azure. I didn't look at Windows Server.
99 times.
So I'm actually building a report to be able to do a email of shame to
document
owners to email them to say...
I don't.
I'm going to use Jeff Woolsey's internal email from 2 years ago. When he did an internal email rant about on-premises and on-premise, I'm going to email that to them and say, please update your doc. But anyway, so Get Wired saw that. He tweeted it out. I responded back to him. I'm like, give me the link. I've already fixed that one, but I'm not going to go and fix 100 documents myself.
Right.
I could do the auto search and replace, but I don't think Apex would actually let me. I'm looking over at the guy.
You can only do 100 doc changes per pull request.
So that's basically, I do 99, right? I've got 99 problems.
And on-premise is one.
On-premise is one. Or on-prem is one. On-premises.
On-premise.
On-premise. So anyway.
On-premise.
Yeah, so that's a stick in the face, eye in the face. It's like down. So, yeah, it's a side project. I can't allocate full time on this right now.
But it needs to be done.
I don't want to do the changes because all of a sudden I will be responsible for fixing all 99 of those documents. And I will end up being tagged if there's anything wrong with any one of those 99 documents with the way our documentation system works.
Yeah.
Send Tyson a note. He may be able to have it.
Have a vendor do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll do that.
Needs to be done.
Anyway, it needs to be done. But I decided to call that out. So that's one of the things that I did.
You grepped the repo and found 99 problems.
99 problems and on-prem, on-premises, on-prem.
a premise.
I can't even say
you can't even say it, can you?
It shocks me so much. That's one of the things I've done.
The premise of this whole conversation is using the term.
The proper use of grammar.
Yes,
I'm sure. I'm sure my sister, who's a teacher, is just cringing right now with this whole grammatical discussion.
You know, one of the problems with having this show broadcast on Facebook is I'm kind of...
Your friends and family see it now.
Well, and I'm now watching the Facebook thing to see where the comments are. Mm. And I scroll down in my feed and I see a meme that says, create your true Canadian name.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... I'll do this for you. What is your birth month?
My birth month is July, actually.
All right.
Just like yours.
Yep. So it's Gatineau.
Gatineau. It's the city across from Ottawa.
All right. So there you go. And you add it to your date of birth, which is?
6.
Okay. So that would be.
Yours is 9, right?
No, 14.
14.
So you're Gatineau back bacon.
Right on. Gatineau back bacon.
I'm Gatineau goose.
Served on top of some poutine. Poutine.
I found that to be very. I found that.
It's good.
What's J-Flow?
J-Flow, what's yours, man? What is your birth month?
Birth month?
June.
He's cross country.
Uh-huh.
And
number of date. What's your date?
Four.
June 4th.
Cross country Cheritin?
Charlatan.
Charitien.
I don't even have, I can't see that. It's just nuts.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work, does it?
That is good.
No.
So what's yours? Yours is Gatineau as well?
Gatineau goose.
Gatineau goose. So fun. So fun. Use the stuff you can find time and waste time with.
This is, again, the problem that we are streaming live on Facebook. Yeah, therefore, I get sidetracked.
I know. It's hard.
And it's very squirrel. Hard.
Shiny.
Over here. Shiny. Look at this. Have you seen this feed? Have you seen this promotion that's happening? It always pops up. I made the mistake of looking online for mattresses when I bought my mattresses, and now my feeds all over the place are filled with Casper, Purple, Lisa, and all the rest of these online mattress stores. I'm like, I already bought the mattress. I don't need to have any more advertised. Like, you need to be able to go someplace and tick off.
I already bought this.
You know, I'm no longer searching. just to opt out of the crap.
But you may want to change your mind.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I did the online mattress thing. I like it.
Neighbor Geek says MFA is nice. Still looking forward to being able to use Azure ID's self-service password reset. Been told there's a Windows lock screen plugin coming for it soon. TM. Yeah, soon. So waiting for that. Yeah, you can still use it.
Yeah.
I'd be happy
to provide some.
If only somebody on this broadcast has written a bunch of really good documentation about self-service password reset. Let's see. Machine learning, Rick. Okay. All right. Sorry. Wireless Life is here. He says, LOL, what did I miss?
Nothing.
We're not going back and repeating ourselves.
I know.
Sorry. It's only an hour long program.
I'm trying to, who was it? I think it was IT Prayer. I was actually asking. He would love to see us doing a technical content.
I'm actually trying
to find our 4-part series, which was basically a day with Rick and Joey in the middle of Tech Ed. Was that Florida that it was in? Orlando? Where was that?
Let's see. We did it in Madrid. So, because remember, it was back to back.
Madrid, I was sick. You don't want to see that one.
We propped you up.
I know, but you don't want to
literally
see that.
On a stool propped you up.
I know.
So it was, because remember, it was back to back, like a week and a half apart or a week apart. So would it have been?
I think it was Florida, Orlando. Yeah,
I think you may be right. I think you may be right. It was Orlando.
So we did. Yeah, we did 4 sessions in a row.
That's still back in the Tech Ed branded days.
Tech Ed.
In fact, it was the last Tech Ed.
It was Houston.
So was that? No, that was Houston.
Houston was the last one.
No, because Houston we did a proper countdown, so it was the one before Houston. Because remember, Madrid is where we created a countdown.
If only I could search. I don't know.
It's all right. It happens.
If you look on Channel 9, you can find it.
But the cool part of that session is that we talked about. This was the AD one, right? Where we basically did a restore of Azure of AD, or was this the...
This was the upgrading your servers from 2008 R2 to 2012.
Oh, yes.
And then, so...
Oh, remember when we were in Madrid and you blew up the entire demo infrastructure.
Yeah, of course.
Or when the demo infrastructure was in your office and they did the carpet and...
Yeah, unplugged.
The backup for the one that he blew up was in my office.
Yeah. We still managed to make it work.
That was awesome.
Rick rebuilt it all on Azure. I was sitting there. I remember that one.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was great. I can't believe we did that.
So next segment.
So next segment is beer money. So the support that you do for your friends, your neighbors, your neighbors' friends, your friends' neighbors' cats, dogs, sisters, uncle.
So the funny part was when I came in, you were having this conference call trying to get ready. He's frustrated and trying to get his headset to work and pulling a hissy fit.
No, I wasn't doing. I was just yelling at it.
He's yelling like we all do.
It's not a yell at your computer, I'm just yelling at the machine, going, "Why don't you work?"
And so he was trying to pair his headset, which paired correctly with his laptop, but he could not get it to actually function as an audio communications device inside of Skype.
So I told him, just go. I could hear everything. It's just the mic didn't work.
Right. So yeah. I told him to simply use the dongle because the dongle's better and it has drivers for it. And then it still didn't work. And I said, restart Skype. So it recognizes it, and boom, it works. So that was my beer money, and he refuses to pay me for that service.
I buy you beer all the time. What are you talking about?
So that was my quick little beer money story, but I have a beer money question for the room and for the experts that are listening online.
Okay. Does that mean I've got to go find the Facebook stream?
If a said individual, like myself, has an issue with the fact that they have exceeded their 1 terabyte of download on their Comcast internet subscribers because they have three teenagers that are watching Facebook or watching YouTube, which consumed, last time I checked on my Ubiquiti device, 723 gigs of downloaded data. And then 400 gigs of data from Facebook, actually. Did you know Facebook consumes that much data?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the video streams that they watch? Because they all watch YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
The vloggers that are there. And the funny thing is that they all watch the same shows, so they were downloading them each time. Like, I almost want to put like a proxy device up or something, or a content delivery network for my house to make it so I don't only have to download it once. Is there any way you can force folks to like they do in the cell phone networks and say, you know what, you can watch this at 480p. You don't have to watch this at 4K on a 7-inch screen. There's my question.
Is that Ubiquiti that would do that?
Ubiquiti does not have the ability.
Because you could bandwidth.
I can bandwidth. I can.
Well, that's one way to do it, right?
I can put them in the group and make it so slow that they would not use the Wi-Fi,
but
to be able to watch
the
stream.
And instead they would use
their phone data, which is unlimited.
You could.
That's one option.
Theoretically, you could QoS YouTube.com, and then it would know that it didn't have enough bandwidth for high def, and it should scale itself down.
But I don't think you can QoS a target. You can QoS clients and protocols internally. That's the problem. Yeah. So I looked at QoS.
You know who we need? We need JK.
We do need JK. He would help us out.
The main man, JK Joe Kelly, who is, I believe he's on holiday. He's in Chicago.
He should be watching this if he's on holiday.
He's in Chicago. He's at Revolution.
Yeah. They're open, I guess. So that's my quandary right now, is I do not have the ability for my beer money to be. I'm seeking beer money advice on what I can do to handle my bandwidth issues, because Comcast charges $10 for 50 gigs once you go over 1 terabyte.
Oof.
Up to $200 additional on your bill.
How much?
Up to $200 additional.
Wow. And have you hit that $200 additional?
No, thankfully not. They have not. I think I've hit $30 and over.
It's $10 for each.
$10, 50 gigs.
For 50 gig.
So basically I'm up to 40.
It's a freaking racket
there,
dude. That company.
I'm up to $40 now, I think.
I used to work for the evil empire.
You did.
So, yeah. Or I could pay $50.
Well, wireless life.
An additional terabyte.
Wireless Life is suggesting that you policy the devices connected to your Wi-Fi to only be allowed to stream at 480p.
But you can't do that. Like, Ubiquiti has the ability to policy your devices to be able to say you have this much downstream.
Right.
Strength. But you can't go in and say, switch the video stream. So I could maybe restrict those devices to be a slower amount, and YouTube would detect it's a slower amount and therefore automatically go down.
So Peter says turn off wireless.
I could do that too.
But Colleen has the best one that says, get rid of two of your kids.
Get rid of two of my kids. Yeah. Sorry, you must go into the wilderness. You can sustain yourself by fishing out of the stormwater pond.
Super Tech Boy says, get your kids flip phones.
So, yeah.
And then Pierre says, back in the day, we sent the kids outside.
Yeah. Make them go play.
Yeah.
Make them go play.
Were you going over before the summer break started?
It started when Max stayed home because of his back injury.
Oh, okay.
Because he was streaming all day.
Yeah.
So he's streaming all day, and that's the problem. I think I'm going to go the route. I shall report back on the next show. but I shall go the route of placing the kids' devices inside of their own special user group inside of Ubiquiti.
Yep.
And once they're inside their own user group, you can then put a policy on downstream bandwidth that they can consume and slow them down.
And you just inform them. You're like,
no,
well,
I'm not even going to inform them.
Oh, you're just going to?
I'm just going to tell them. I'm just going to do it. And okay. They're going to say, Dad, the internet's so slow. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. Sorry.
I'm not.
Mine's fine. Look at this. I'm watching 4K on my phone. What happened to you?
You're not supposed to watch 4K on a 7-inch screen.
That's what I said.
You just said.
Yeah.
Super Tech Boy says enroll their phones in Intune and block them.
See,
Prayer says, can you talk to your kids? Which was the suggestion I just made, which is essentially tell them stop doing it.
No, I don't want to stop them from watching YouTube.
Yes, I know, but you can tell the app. Isn't there a way to tell the app to not stream at 4K?
We checked in that. There's no way to set a policy on the app to be able to
that's crazy
only talk. Use this level of stream. Yeah. If only YouTube updated their iPhone.
So apps. I can tell you, though, with the unlimited data plan that you have with your particular wireless carrier, right. It defaults to that.
Totally.
And is it because they're strangling it? Is they're throttling it to that website? Is that how they're able to make sure it's
basically
at 480?
Going,
so you're
going
to essentially do the same thing. You're just going to strangle the bandwidth.
So basically, I'm going to strangle their bandwidth. YouTube is going to gear itself down. Or they're going to be so pissed off that I've strangled them so much they're just going to turn off Wi-Fi and go back to using their data, which is fine because we have unlimited data. I think we just solved my problem. See, that's why I love this show. We actually get stuff done, and we get issues solved, discussed, debated with the brains of the tech industry. Like, if we had the show on when, what is it, Petya, the virus that came out just recently?
The one that happened on Tuesday?
The latest version?
Yeah.
We could have had that solved.
We could have.
If we had the show. We could have basically gotten everybody patched in the world. And also,
dude,
do
I
proper
have the answer.
Administrative.
I have the answer, and it's
rights.
Combined with what Super Tech Boy just mentioned in the chat room.
What's that?
Super Tech Boy says, make them pay for internet.
Make them pay.
We have the ability through the Ubiquiti system to set up the guest network and to charge for it.
So basically, I could have a little list that they have to go and check every morning, and I'll say, you get one token for unloading the dishwasher. You get one token for loading the dishwasher.
No, but the way to handle the bandwidth overage is you say every month.
Yeah.
The house has a limit, a number of an amount of bandwidth.
Yeah, so if you and your friends come over,
you and the rest of your people hit that max, you
the,
have
the dollar
to pay.
Sign kicks in.
That's exactly right.
Done. I can do that. They will be so ticked off, though. One issue with the guest network.
It's either
that
them
we have
ticked
right
off or you ticked off because you're paying an extra $200 a month.
So one issue with the guest network that they found,
yeah,
is that they can't connect to the Sonos. Because the guest network does port
it's
isolation.
Right.
And so they can't connect up and control a Sonos if they're part of the guest
network.
Is that
a bad thing?
They want to use their Sonos.
Oh, they
to
have
play
them.
Music. Yeah, each kid. Mac has his own Sonos that he bought himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't connect to it if he's on the guest network.
So you put his Sonos on the guest network.
But it has port isolation. So you can't see other people on the guest network.
Wire his Sonos in. To one of the wired ports.
And then make a VLAN that I put the guests
Correct.
On. That could maybe do that.
Yeah.
I could do that. Oh, see? The power of Ubiquiti, man. I love that.
Exactly.
I love that wireless
check
device.
Box that I can click
is there
Google Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And pick which devices I want the guest network to be able to see.
Yeah.
It just works.
Okay. I haven't checked for that.
And Peter's like, it's actually a good idea at least give them a show back like we do at work where you're like, this is your bandwidth utilization for the week.
Here's your charge back.
You could do that. I mean, if you're paying $30 over, you could go back and you could go.
My wife would be a big offender with Facebook. She does a lot of Facebooks.
I can tell you, the volume, the amount of Facebook video is nowhere near what YouTube does. And the other thing, and the other bandwidth hog is Snapchat.
Snapchat?
Oh, my gosh. My daughter can go through her entire allotment because I don't have unlimited for her.
Why not?
Because you would think that...
Have you visited T-Mobile recently?
I have not, but...
You need to go and visit.
I know. I get it. The rate plan I'm on right now is really, really good. I have unlimited.
I know, but...
there's a deliberate decision there, right? She has to make choices because they don't throttle her until she's used something like 500 gig or something. I don't know. Whatever, a gig or terabyte or... I don't know. I'd have to look and see when she gets throttled.
10 gigs.
Probably 10 gig. She will burn through that in less than a day.
Of course.
With not, Snapchat. She doesn't use, it's just Snapchat.
You know why? It's because I probably inside of that young whippersnapper app called Snapchat, there's no way of saying downgrade the size of picture.
Right.
Don't send the 2 meg pitcher when you take 700 pitchers to stay on top of the friend's streaks that you have to stay on top
of.
Oh,
my God.
And then you send 10 megs each time you take a pitcher.
Can we talk about this streak thing?
Oh, I know.
Do your kids, when their friends go out of town and they're not on the internet, so my daughter actually helps her friends maintain the streaks.
Oh, yeah. They share their creds. Did you share the creds or devices?
If their phone gets taken away, they still want to keep up with the streaks.
Yeah,
so
no, totally.
This kills
me. It's a new technology issue that we're facing with our kids. We're teaching our kids the bad thing of sharing passwords.
I know.
Just to be able to maintain streaks on a stupid, pointless
network.
You
realize your dad works in an identity team?
Yeah, I know. Sharing passwords. What would Thycotic say? What would AAD say?
Pierre says you can't charge them. They'll just ask mom for the money to pay dad. That's true.
That's true.
Frederick Bork Bork says he thinks he will sell his kids as network load testing tools. My God, they consume bandwidth.
Man. You know what? The funny thing is, this is kind of beer money too. My son and I have been having a conversation because he wants his own laptop. And I'm like, okay, buy one, man.
Right.
Or you get this one, which is an old Surface One.
It's a hand.
You know, it's a hand-me-down technology. Just because, you know, when you work in IT, you have the hand-me-downs you pass to your siblings and your kids. And so he wants to buy one. I'm like, okay, no problem. And he's like, I want to buy a Mac, as always, right? Because that's what he's thinking. I'm like, let's have a logical discussion. Why do you want to have a Mac? And I'm like, do you want to have the terminal? Why? And he's like, oh, so I can do FaceTime. I'm like, okay, so why do you want to do FaceTime? You can do it on your phone. He's like, I want a bigger screen. Okay, so you have an iPad you can do that on. So do it on the iPad. Oh, okay. I never thought of that. I'm like, why don't you want me to have an iPad? And I'm like, a Mac. And I'm like, well, you can buy one.
Sure.
But it's going to be $500 more than buying the equivalent.
At a minimum.
At least minimum.
Yeah.
And that's because I actually took him yesterday because he had a specialist appointment with a doctor for his back. And we had time to kill. So I took him to Best Buy. And I'm like, okay, here are the Macs. He's like, look at them all. I love them. I'm like, oh, that's
all shiny.
Look at the price on that one there.
$2,400
for that one he was looking at. He went to the cheaper ones and looked at them. Say, okay, look at the specs. Okay, here, let's go over here. The other section.
Yeah.
And I took him to the HP section. I took him to the Dell section. I took him to the Surface section. And I'm like explaining, here's the stuff that geeks look at when you're looking at the specs. And here's what's important.
Here's what it means.
What it looks like.
Yep.
And he's like, I really like this one. And he's like, okay, look at the specs. Oh, the specs are bigger than that one over there. I said, look at the price. It's only $1,200. It's not $2,800. I'm like, yeah. And look at this one over here. If you just gear down a little bit, you can get that one for $800.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, I never thought of that.
Right.
So teaching my son responsible IT purchase decisions.
That is
fantastic. He's only 15. That's one of the two buckets they have to be competent at is technology decisions. The second one is their security of their individual identities, but that's a longer story.
Peter says he swears apps today are being built by the network providers to consume max bandwidth.
They totally are. It's a collusion.
Fire Killer, good to see you. Says check out the 60 Minutes spot from a couple of weeks ago. They talk about application development and brain physiology.
Oh yeah.
Are
your kids taking any computer course this summer?
No.
Doing any programming?
We are not
IT stuff.
We don't code in our house.
I
break out in a rash. Unless it's PowerShell. I can't. I learned to spell .NET last week though. That was pretty cool.
My son wants to do music production.
Oh, does he?
He wants to actually get into doing multi-track editing and recording.
I might be able to help him out with learning.
So that's why he's.
But you want to talk about expensive?
Oh, I know.
So the software suite that I use is $1,200.
No, I know.
Okay,
so. He's looking.
That includes no hardware.
So they started the conversation about what app can I use? Where can I get it from? What can I? And I'm like, well, start doing your research, and that's why he's looking at a laptop. He wants to have something to be able to run it off of.
Sure.
Ableton,
Reason, Fruity Loops.
No one's terribly interested in doing any coding at this point in time.
Yeah.
Usually it starts to pop up with Gracie actually.
Yeah.
She wants to do some stuff later on, and Ella is just consuming a softball, as always.
Yeah.
So no code in our place in the summertime.
Peter says his son is teaching himself Java to do mod work for Minecraft server that he plays on all the time.
Very popular.
There's actually a course or a video on Channel 9 that talks about modding. I don't know if he's seen that yet.
My daughter
attended that training, which was really cool.
That was cool. And they also at code.org, I think it is. They have good courses about doing that as well.
There's a guy who does a bunch of Minecraft modding and teaches, and that's who came into this stuff.
It's on YouTube. They can search.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, did we rat hole.
We are.
But it was a good conversation. Mr. Blacksway says that's – it was a very interesting conversation to have about the bandwidth usage thing.
I completely agree that it's a collusion between the providers to basically have
Frederick actually says license them. Check their latency if they want food and sodas.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So Peter says, please link. I don't have the link right now. You can do a search on Channel 9. You can find it. The Minecraft modding and the kids thing. And there's stuff all over the place. This guy has his own website and YouTube channels. So.
There's some cool announcements that came out at E3 about cross-platform play.
And
sharing of maps and sharing of resources and coding, stuff like that going on, which is absolutely awesome in the Minecraft world and also in the console world in general.
I also have a check on Lynda or some of the other online learning channels. It's worth the small dollar investment if your company doesn't already pay for it. Correct. A lot of companies do.
And there's obviously, like, I know around here, there's lots of places that are just offering, like, summer camps of doing week-long coding camps.
Firekiller did post the link in the chat room to the 60 Minutes.
We split our stream here.
The chat room on patchandswitch.com. On Facebook, it's just your sister saying, dude, you were an 18th century loyalist drummer. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. That's from an old thread, I think.
Colleen says, her son went to DigiPen camps. This year they made him get a job.
Nice.
So, but Peter has Lynda. So check Lynda. It's pretty impressive the number of courses I found on Lynda. I was looking, speaking of music production.
Oh my God, Lindy Webb's on Facebook too.
Yeah,
that's Morgan's wife.
Yeah,
South Africa.
Oh yeah,
international.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. They're probably just waking up.
Yeah, probably
over there.
So anyway, I was talking Ableton Live, which is a software suite that I use for my. I don't produce music as much as
I have a USB-based soundboard. Already.
Okay.
It's got four XLR inputs and two line-in inputs.
Sure. You're going to want an external USB sound card.
Yeah, I know. You need a more powerful sound card to do multi-track editing.
Yep.
So that means that a laptop's basically out of question.
No, right? It's not. No.
You use that line right there?
Okay. Yeah. I have an external USB sound card and I just connect it in.
I could do that.
I just put it into the...
I can tell you.
Is that it?
No, I have a.
That's the cheapy one.
I have a full one that has XLR inputs and
how big
and
is
four
it?
Channels.
And it's like how expensive is it?
$150.
$150.
Yeah.
There's a lot of you to multi-track.
Yep.
And so, okay.
The one I have does four.
That's good.
You can get more.
So they're probably looking more at the Fruity Loops mode.
Yeah, FL Studio.
Yeah. To be able to just simply have.
Yeah.
You know, go in and put your drum.
Well, the reason he wants to do the Mac thing is GarageBand.
Maybe. See, I don't know.
But at any rate, I also have my production. I've moved. I used to do most of my mashup production on this machine.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a full machine at home.
I remember the whole episode.
Yeah,
about
we talked about buying it and speccing it out, and I built it. I could recommend a couple of brands of those external sound cards for you.
I might take
Super simple. But, yeah, I actually found some courses on Ableton on Lynda because I was looking at how to use the sampler because I'm actually working on something for the Redmond Dance team right now and I need to sample some stuff and kind of change the key it's in.
Oh, yeah.
So I was looking at how to do that.
Cool.
And the other thing is finding what key things are in. So
you need the music background for.
Well, see, tone. this is the thing. I hear it,
yeah.
So I know if it sounds right
but
or not.
You don't know if it's a C or a lower G
that's
sharp.
Correct.
Or
exactly
a,
right.
So
I don't. That,
that's
know
where
that.
Mac could come in.
Yeah, Mac could help me out. Yeah,
Mac could help you on that side of things.
IT Prayer says has the Presonus FireWire. Presonus is a great one.
He's been cleared to be able to teach again. And
has he?
Move around again with his injury, and so I'm like, dude. Get yourself back on the market again because he can make some serious coin this summer.
Absolutely.
Going back to teaching music. For music.
So. Hey, are you going to be doing the program in a fortnight's time, El Lobo Solo?
I think.
The Lone Wolf.
So you're in Ignite. No, you're Inspire. You're in Inspire.
In the DCs.
You're not getting Ignited. You're getting Inspired.
I'm getting Inspired with our partners.
So I think I probably should.
Okay.
I could probably find someone. I don't know, J-Flow. Would J-Shock be back by then? He's back, so maybe you could be in front of the camera.
I have a face for radio.
He has a face for
radio. So maybe you could run the audio and I'd have J-Shock in front of the... Well, he's got a face for radio, too.
Easy.
So, I don't know. I think I will.
So let's go ahead.
Yeah, so officially...
Yeah.
There will be... Please cancel your existing meeting requests for Patch and Switch.
That is correct. If you have them...
I will cancel them on the server, and I'll cancel them here.
Okay.
And I will issue a new meeting request because of our... Insensitive bosses have gone in and actually
Correct.
Placed meetings during this time slot, and every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks. So we have to bump this over to this new slot.
So let's get three work safe words so that we can spend the remainder of the 5 minutes talking about what has just popped up. And I know that we were talking
tech. We have beer to talk about.
We haven't talked about beer, but more importantly, it is a holiday weekend, and Fire Killer wants to know who's smoking meat this weekend.
Okay. So three work safe words.
Yep. So get us three work safe words for the show that's going to be scotch. That's actually pretty good. We should do that. Let's do that. Peter wins.
Super Tech Boy is asking, will there be a Patch and Switch show at Ignite? We can either confirm nor deny.
Correct.
At this point in time.
Pretty much. Well, we can confirm that.
Can we confirm?
Well, we can confirm that. We don't know when, but we know we're doing a show there.
Okay. We have been approached to do a show.
We're just waiting on the absolute confirmation that we will be in the podcast studio. Correct. The other thing is.
Correct.
Scotchy.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. Let's talk about, so are you smoking meat this weekend?
No, I'm not.
Why?
Because I already have.
It's Canada Day.
I have 14. I didn't get my moose shipment this month, if you really want to know.
Oh, okay.
I have
is
14
Is that how
pounds
you get your pork? Is the moose?
It's actually
the moose.
It's actually moose.
It's delivered by moose?
It's actually moose. It's not pork.
Oh, God.
That's why it's a little bit gamey. A little bit of pine from
Fire Killer has two there. Fresh pork bellies and a brisket on deck.
So I still want to do pork belly, but I haven't done it yet. So I have not gone ahead and done any.
Morgan is hitting up on WhatsApp.
Saying, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Nice.
He says, yo, your show has to be okay. It has my wife Lindy watching and commenting on a Friday evening.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome. Morgan, I arrive the Sunday before Inspire. Actually, the Saturday evening before Inspire, and I leave on the 15th, the day before which may be my birthday. So we will catch up for sure, my friend.
Nice.
I haven't talked to Morgan in forever.
So we have three work safe words. Can we talk about beer now?
Scotch is the three work safe words.
Yeah.
So I'm not. But
talk about beer.
So I'm not barbecuing, but I'm deciding I'm calling a beer day, a brew day.
A brew day.
I am going to brew.
Which day?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to brew. Okay. I do not want to interfere with any boating activities.
Yeah. you guys are finally coming on the boat.
I finally got my invite to go on the boat.
You've had the invite. You just have never shown up.
Never had the invite.
So do we need to go back to last 4th of July when you had the invitation and you guys decided not to?
I don't know what happened. It wasn't me.
Softball.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Softball.
So...
Just saying.
So anyway, I need to make beer. Like I need lager. And lager takes a long time to make, so I'm like, okay. I've got to do it. Plus, also, my yeast packets are going to expire in August.
We need to do
so
that.
So I've got
to
get them viable again.
And
I have a $25 gift certificate to Sound Homebrew.
So
I need to go down there. To
Well, if we go to Sound Homebrew, we
got to stop at a Counterbalance.
Yeah.
They have new canned beer now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Excellent. We'll have to stop by. I'll be smoking some ribs, I think.
What's the big deal about brisket?
Oh, my.
What's the big deal about brisket?
Is it a hard thing to do?
We can't be friends anymore.
No, like, is it hard?
Yes.
Why?
Because
it's just a chunk of meat.
It is the hardest chunk of meat to cook and not dry it out, so it's like
cardboard. Just, but you have a temperature sensor to keep that from happening.
You you talk about stressing out over your pork butt and making sure when it's done.
Yeah.
Brisket isn't done until it decides it's done. Like it could be 12 hours, it could be 16 hours, and if you miss that window, that thing is cardboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I never knew.
Yeah. Peter says, shoot him. Fire Killer says, oh, my God.
See, I've offended the barbecue gods.
And yeah.
Brian Cerasi.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to see you, buddy.
AZ Growler guy, he's doing pork butt 10 pounds.
Whew. So I'm making 10 gallons of beer. That's what I'm doing.
10
gallons? 10 gallons. The brewery has been relocated in my garage.
Oh, excellent.
The garage is 80% clean. So in celebration, I'm going to christen the brewery to basically open it back up again.
Peter says, coming from someone who's had many a bad Passover brisket at my mother-in-law's, it matters. He said, Growler guy says, did Rick really just say that? Prayer says Canadians.
I'm offended.
You've offended the gods.
Offended America.
Yeah, America. You've just offended the barbecue gods.
The band started.
The band has started.
I want to get out of here.
That means that we've come to the end of another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Big thank you to Peter, AZ Growler Guy, Super Tech Boy, our audio video button pusher extraordinaire, Buckeye Guy Jay Flo in the house. Colleen, you've got something to do. Mr. Blacksway in the house. Pierre Roman, Neighborhood Geek, Kowski, Rye Guy 635, John Marshall, IT Prayer, if I haven't already said that, Fire Killer. Did we Did I miss somebody? Frederick Bork Bork, good to see you. Wireless Life as well. We'll head over to Facebook. Lindy, Beth, Alex Mang, everybody else who's joined us. That's it for another episode of the program. Back in a fortnight's time. Until then, have a weekend, everybody. What's the deal with brisket?
It's just brisket.
We're going to talk. We have to have a conversation.